The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
All right, Rolene, did the bat costume finally make it?
It actually didn't, but I did have, in solidarity with the high drive team, a whiskey a little while ago because, you know, it's Purim and you have to have a Freilicher Purim.
Oi.
Let's start that one again. A Freilicher Purim. And also because Whiskey Thursday. Lamalo. Why not?
Puzza Thursday. That's right.
It is Puzza Thursday.
On a big scale. Now, let's get into things that you can't do while poozering, which importantly includes creating a committee to craft a new military draft law.
Well, this is going to be very, very interesting. So anticipating what could be a rebellion from the Haredi lawmakers or members of Knesset who actually may threaten to break or topple his coalition, Prime Minister Netanyahu agreed yesterday to establish a committee composed of representatives from all of the coalition member parties. There are six of them to start talking about an agreed-upon military draft bill. And as we know, and we've often discussed it on the Israel Report, the idea of the military draft, which is compulsory for men and women in Israel, is very, very often protested by members of the Haredi community. Not all members, because I do want to make it very, very clear that there are members of the Haredi community who do proudly serve in the IDF, in some cases at great risk to themselves, but the ultra-Orthodox contingent within the Knesset said that they will condition their support for the passing of the 2019 state budget on their proposals. And if this military draft bill or idea or committee come up with something that they don't like, they are threatening to topple his coalition.
Yeah, couldn't you believe that would be Netanyahu basically surviving everything up till now. So he's been pretty good at keeping the Haredim in line. It'll be interesting to see where they end up with in terms of this issue. It's going to be interesting to watch. Ro, you gave
Will
me a whole...
Will it be Teflon Bibi?
We'll have to see. Ro, you gave me a whole one day of not this issue, and now it's come back with a vengeance.
It has come back with a vengeance. It's come back with a vengeance because a delegation has arrived from Poland in Israel for emergency talks over the recent legislation that criminalizes the discussion of Polish collusion with Nazi Germany. Now, on top of this delegation arriving, documents have also been made public, documents from 1946 that that actually prove, or rather document, the treatment by Poles of Jews post the Holocaust in Poland. So there is that irrefutable proof. However, the Polish Deputy Foreign Minister Bartosz Kiczoki, who is leading the delegation, said there's no possibility that the law will be renegotiated. However, they're here to discuss the controversy, to explain it, and to engage in a dialogue based on truth. Now, this is quite interesting because the whole issue seems to be surrounding their version of truth and what we know to be true. So I think these discussions are going to be very, very heated. I don't think you can go into a single home in Israel today without this issue being discussed. And we know that leading experts or leading Israeli experts on the Holocaust, which include Professor Dina Porat of Tel Aviv University, Dr. David Silberklang, who's the editor-in-chief of Yad Vashem Studies, as well as others, will be part of this discussion group. And I think that things are going to be quite, quite heated.
Yeah, certainly would be interesting to see that meeting in some kind of fly-on-the-wall status. Moving on to the U.S. a little bit, Malcolm Hundlein is the head of the U.S. Conference of Presidents, which is kind of like the big council of all the different Jewish NGOs. He's to step down after three decades of work.
Yes, this is quite a shock. I mean, anybody who works within the organized community structures has probably met Malcolm Hunan, who is the vice chair of the Conference of Presidents of a Major American Jewish Organizations. But why this news is so topical is not just because of his status and also after his having served in this position for over three decades, is that he is quite possibly the most influential Jewish person in America, because he has met throughout his career with Arab representatives, with key Israeli officials, with key U.S. Officials. He has met with the president of Turkey. He has met with Bashar al-Assad. He has been very, very vocal on issues at the United Nations. So he is probably the most famous, most celebrated, and probably most strategic and important official for the Jewish community in the world.
Any ideas about who is going to succeed him or how they might succeed him, right?
Well, according to articles and according to the media, he's stepping down because a new director will take place. So to coincide for the search for the new director, he's stepping down. So I think there'll probably be a combined search for the new director and for the vice.
Yeah, should be very interesting to see where that goes. Certainly a man who has stamped his authority on Jewish life in America and around the world. And interesting to see who kind of succeeds him and what their agenda is. So, yeah, great. I guess always change is always good and important. And even in the Jewish world, after three decades, you can also step down. So that is excellent. Ro, moving on to the next story, it looks as though it's not only people that are trying to get asylum status out of Iraq and Syria.
Well, I love this story. And, you know, I posted on Facebook today, lions on the Israel report. And people said lions rugby players, lions in cages. Lions actually taken from very, very dire situations in Iraq and in Syria and brought to South Africa. They are in the Lions Rock Sanctuary in South Africa with help by an organization called Four Paws. So Four Paws has brought them to safety. It's quite incredible. I know that in South Africa, I think we're involved with making sure that the lions made it to South Africa safe and sound. So Simba and Saeed are great and welcome foreigners, I think, to South Africa. And it's very nice to hear a conservation story as positive as this coming out of South Africa.
Yeah, do any idea where the lions are going to go? Are they headed for a zoo or a reserve or what?
They're going to a place called the Lions Rock Sanctuary.
The Lions Rock. Okay, that has a bit of a Lion King vibe to it, you know, Lions Rock, Pride Rock. I think that could work, and that'll be good. I mean, I guess that if you're a lion, you don't want to be in the middle of a civil war, and you can also just chill out and be a happy lion.
Well, also what is very, very interesting, not specifically about lions, but mostly about rhinos, is that there are incredible programs at the Ramat Gan Safari Park here in Israel where rhinos have been bred very, very successfully in captivity. And we have some wonderful South African olim, not great in conversation, but there are the most fabulous olim, and they live at the Ramat Gan Safari Park. So to see this exchange of conservation around the two countries and especially in the region is a tremendous thing.
Well, Ro, thank you so much for bringing us all of that news from Israel, and you'll be on Kathy's show tomorrow morning, or Howard's show, as it still is.
I will be on the Balagan Baboke. I think it's called a Balagan Baboke because I make it so, at 7:45 tomorrow morning.
All right, there you go. Rolene Marks telling us about the hungry, 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 hungry lions. And you can catch her tomorrow and Monday for the Israel Report.